Holy Spirit, teach us. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us. Holy Spirit, quicken us, revive us, empower us with the word of God. We pray that the word will prevail. It will grow mightily in our lives. It will grow mightily in our church and prevail over every situation and every circumstance. So that we, your people, just like you have predestined us, we will truly become conformed to the image of the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ. Father, we ask for this and we yield to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time, the Lord is good. You know, every time Brother Benjamin comes to share his testimony, he tells us, you know, there's so many things that God is doing that actually, you know, if we're to start counting them, yeah, you know, it will take all your time. And that's true. It's actually true for all of us. If we were to sit down and sit back, many times we don't reflect. You see, I believe that one of the worst attitudes you can have in life is an attitude of ingratitude. Because the devil can take advantage of you. Because the devil always comes to tell you what is not being done in your life. And he will tell you what God has not done. Even the very first temptation, he went to Adam and Eve. He did not tell them about everything that God has done and God provided for them. And I'll try to explain to people. I said, do you know that when God made Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman, he put them inside paradise? No, that means that everything you are looking for today, is everything you are trying to get today, the height of it all is paradise. Yeah, I know, like children, parents like to take their children to leisure centers, take them to the zoo, take them to New Zealand or whatever. They want to see animals. But in paradise, all the animals were there. Adam could play with any animal, any tree. He could eat any fruit. He could do anything. He had everything in one place. It was paradise. The Garden of Eden was what? Paradise. But devil did not come like that. Devil came and said, as God said, you shall not. So, trying to drive that focus at, what is that thing that God is not doing for you? And that's everything that the devil, every time the devil comes, he's trying to distract you away from what God is doing. And trying to focus on what God is not doing. But the way to deal with Satan is to remember. We have to remember everything that God is doing in our lives. Hallelujah. Sister T.Y. says, there are some people, they have headache. And from headache, they die. Do you understand? In fact, medically, they do autopsy, they cannot explain the cause of the death. They just say, well, the only thing that he had it. In fact, I have a relative or an in-law relative who had a headache. That's exactly what happened. He woke up in the morning, had the headache and died. You know? But we are alive. You see what God is doing? You know, God is keeping us through all the toys, through all the risk of life. You know, we go on the road, we come back, you know, we eat food, you know, some food you ate and you went and you escaped. Some other person ate it and it finished them. So God is good. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, God is good. And you know, the only way to prove that God is good is to taste it. Yeah, you can't prove it. The proof is in the tasting. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's why God is calling you to be a witness of his goodness. As you experience God, we must maintain an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. When we are grateful. And that's what I try to do. Even in the midst of when my prayers seem not to be answered. I enter prayer all the time with what? I enter his gates. How do you enter his gates? With thanksgiving. Hallelujah. That's how to defeat the devil. Hello? Are you with me? Always enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Some days in my quiet time, all I want to do is just thank and worship God. You understand? Because I know that God can speak to me any time of the day. Amen? So the part I want to do well. I just want to thank God. Even in the midst, even when I'm in the midst of a terrible situation, and sometimes one of the terrible situations that come across our lives, our way in life, is when we have to wait. Do you understand? When you have to wait for anything, it can be very, very painful. Yeah, you have an expectation, and then you have to wait. Do you understand? Now we all go through it. It's part of the trial of our what? Of our faith. Yeah, the other day I was in the shopping center, to buy some things, and I wanted to cook a meal for my children, so I was there. It was in the morning, past 9, in Tesco. So most of the aisles were free. I had many options. But unfortunately for me, I went for this option,
And suddenly, you know, the people who were finishing, who I thought had finished, had a problem. And then I was stuck there, and there were many free places. And I was thinking, could I not leave and go to the other place? And the Holy Spirit is saying, wait. You know? Well, it took like 2 minutes, yeah, before it was free. But what God is teaching is, waiting will not kill you. Hallelujah. Waiting does not mean your blessing will not come. Hallelujah. That 2 minutes I'm waiting there, do I know what God has used it to block for me in some other place? Maybe I'm going somewhere and I'm not supposed to arrive there until 2 minutes time. Hallelujah. God makes all things beautiful in His time. Now, that's not a part of my message, but that's a prophetic message, word of God for somebody here today. God makes everything beautiful in His time. So waiting will not kill you, because with God, yeah, your time is in His hands, and He will perfect everything that concerns you. Even if Satan sneaked in to mess things up, God is greater. Hallelujah. I said, even if Satan sneaked in to cause havoc, God is what? Greater. He can restore to you everything that the devil has taken. Hallelujah. That's God. It's unlimited. You know, say God, say to yourself, say God is grace unlimited. Hallelujah. Today, we're going to look again at a topic very dear to my heart. You know, and let me give a foundation to this topic before we move into it. You see, if you look at the church, what do you call it? Pulpit. Yeah? Look at the bottom. What can you see there? Yes, please shout it. Faith, hope, and love. If you master faith, hope, and love, yeah, you're on your way to glory. I think your Christian walk, if you can master faith, hope, and love, you have got it right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Open to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And then someone read for me verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I believe that verse 13 is the last verse of 1 Corinthians 13. Please, if you are there, let me know and I will hand you the microphone. 1 Corinthians, Starunke, I'm hoping that everybody can read today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13.
And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of this is charity.
Amen. See, and now abides what? Faith, hope, and love. Can I have that in another version? You know, a simpler version. Hallelujah.
And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Amen. Please, I still need, thank you, both of you, you know I love you. I still need a more simpler version, because I'm looking for a version that does not use abide.
Three things will last forever.
Yeah, are you listening to that? How many things will last forever?
Three things. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Amen. Sister, do you have another version? Yeah?
But now we still have faith, hope, and love. These three, and the greatest of these is love.
Amen.
Are you with me? There are three things that will last forever. They will never end. And they are what? Faith, hope, and love. You know why faith will never end? Because we understand in Hebrews 11 that by faith, God created everything. Yeah? The things that exist came out of nothing. God spoke them. God imagined them and spoke them into being. Hallelujah. So you yourself, you are a product of faith. Hallelujah. Now, why did God create everything? Have you ever asked yourself, why did God create? It was because of His love. He wanted a family. Yeah? Have you ever thought about it? I got a revelation one day. Please understand this revelation with wisdom. Every spirit that God ever made cannot die. Spirits do not die. Are you listening to me? Spirits cannot die. A spirit cannot die. A body can die, but a spirit can never die. So now you are alive
as a spirit. God has made you already. You are living. You are going to live forever. It's just a matter of where. You can't die. You can't go out of existence. Yeah? The devil, if spirits could die, God will annihilate the devil. Have you ever thought about it? That when the devil sinned, why didn't God just clear him out of the picture? Spirits cannot die. But have you ever thought about it? Why can spirits not die? Please, someone give me. Let's test two answers. Two answers. Think about it. I said spirits do not die. It's a matter of where they are going to. Whether eternal life with God or eternal death in the lake of fire. But spirits cannot die. Even in the lake of fire, they will be dying but not dead. Because spirits cannot die. They will be ever dying. Are you listening to me? But why? Anybody want to be bold enough to attempt an answer? Okay, don't worry, I won't push you because this is not the main topic. The reason is that spirits, they come out of God himself. Hallelujah. Are you listening? A spirit, is not made. It's released. It's part of God. So now what you need to understand is that why did God create? It's his love. God released part of himself to have a family. Hallelujah. Now you need to understand. That's why when you understand even hell better. That forever a part of God will be in hell. Because his justice has to be served. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm saying that people who do not receive the salvation of God and end up in hell, those spirits still came out of God, So that part of God, God still suffers without justice, but the justice must be served. That's exactly why Jesus came to the cross, and died. He faced that justice. He took that justice upon himself, to redeem. Hallelujah. So you see, there is no excuse. There is no excuse. God created you because of his love. He wanted you to be a member of his family. And that's why he released you, gave you free will, so that you can come back to where you belong. You came out of him, but what is it? Love. What love does? Let me tell you what love does. Because love is so selfless, love releases. Love. Because the love of God is so selfless, it's willing to release. Rather than claiming his right, love is willing to release. Hallelujah. And our love operates that because love, faith and love, they work together. So love releases in faith. That the law will prevail. And so God relieves you, gave you free will. In faith that you will come back to him where you belong. Hallelujah. Are you with me? That is love. So love is the reason for creation. God released you so that you can come back. Willingly to him. Amen. And let me explain finally hope. And so when we talk about the Christian hope, it's not the hope of, I hope it will not rain tomorrow. You know, like I tell you, the faith of God is not the human faith. Human faith is, if I put on this switch, the light will come. If I put it off, it will go off. If I put it on again, it will come on. So I believe that whenever I put on this switch, the light will come on. Human faith is based on the senses. I can see this chair, so I know that I can sit on it. It doesn't take any faith of God. It takes human faith. Let me show you the faith of God. Faith of God is, I can see no chair, but God told me to sit, so I will sit. Hallelujah. God kind of faith is based on the word. Human faith is based on the senses. What I can see, touch, and feel. Are you with me? The God kind of love is different from the human love. The human love is, you were nice to me yesterday, so I will be nice to you tomorrow. And if you make a mistake and you're not nice to me today, although you were nice to me yesterday, forget about it. Are you with me? That's human love. But the God kind of love is that I will be good to you. Because it is the right thing to do. Hallelujah. You see the difference? So also the human hope is different from the God kind of hope. The human hope is based on, I cross my finger. Hopefully it will not snow this night. And if it snows anyway, at least I tried. Let's hope for tomorrow.
And even if it is not tomorrow, let's hope for the next day. Say, where there is life, there is hope. That's human hope. And that, but there, you know, where there's life, there's hope. Yeah, it's not always true for many people. Because many people have life, but they have lost hope. Are you with me? Some people, have you ever heard of it in the news? Some people want to die. Because the pain they are facing is so much, they want to be medically executed. if I like to say it that way. Because they are facing so much pain, they made the decision. They call it euthanasia. You understand? This is not legal in this country, but people travel abroad to die medically. So, although we say where there's light, there's hope, the human hope is not a hope that can deliver. Amen? Human hope is a wishy-washy. Get the point? The human hope is what? A wishy-washy kind of hope, because it's based on wishes. Are you understanding? But the God kind of hope is different. God kind of hope is a sure hope. Let me give an example of the God kind of hope. The God kind of hope says, Jesus is coming back again. It's a sure, steadfast hope. The only difference is that it's in the future, but it will surely happen. It's not a wish. It is a what? A certainty. Now, do you know why it's important for you to be well grounded in faith, hope, and love? Because if you are not grounded in this God kind of hope, you may become distracted or discouraged in your journey. When I want to get discouraged, and I remember that Jesus is coming back again. Hallelujah. I'm empowered. Hallelujah. The God kind of hope is that this there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And so when I go through any trial or tribulation or persecution in this world, it doesn't ultimately discourage me, because I know that there is coming a world in which there will be no such. Hallelujah. Are you with me? That is the God kind of hope. It's a sure, steadfast hope. It's a hope that a day is coming when you will have a body, yeah, that cannot fall sick. It cannot. Hallelujah. You have a body that does not need food. Although you can eat, but it doesn't need food. Have you ever thought about it? When Jesus rose from the dead, he had food. You think about it. But not, he didn't eat food because he needed food. He had food as a pleasure. Just like, you know, you can sit beside the sea as a pleasure. Not because you need it, but because you enjoy it. Are you with me? You have that body. There's a time coming. You know, they came to Jesus and said, oh, you know, we are, this woman, she had a husband, and her husband died, and there was no child. So in those days, if that happens, the brothers, the oldest surviving brother must take over, or the youngest, I don't know which one. And so the first brother took over, and then he died. And the second, and then he died. And six brothers all took over, and they all died. So at the end of the day, the seven brothers died. And finally, the woman herself also died. So they asked Jesus, in the resurrection, because this way the Sadducees, they don't believe in resurrection. So they were trying to trap Jesus. In the resurrection, who will be the husband of the woman, since all of the several of them married her? Jesus smiled. He told them, he said, in the resurrection. He said, you don't know. I don't know how he quoted it. You can help me. Sorry, help me.
Ye therefore do err, for ye know not the power of God nor the scriptures.
They didn't know the power of God, neither the word of God. He said, in the resurrection, there is no marriage. People neither marry nor are given in marriage. He said, they will be like the angels. Because in the resurrection, you have a new body. That body does not need marriage, and it cannot reproduce either. Are you with me? He said, they will be like the angels of God. Glory to God. That's the hope that we have. Hallelujah. You see, let me explain this before I go into the message. We have a hope that says, even there was this parable of a rich man and a poor Lazarus. And this rich man, he enjoyed life. And he had four brothers.
and they all enjoyed life. And this man, Lazarus, he had nothing. Because he had nothing, he was so poor that he could not even get medical treatment. And he died. But the Bible says, and the rich man also died. Yeah? But the Bible says, when they were, yeah, after their death, immediately after their death, one was in torment and the other was in comfort. So the hope we have says that no matter what we face in life, tomorrow will be better. It's not tomorrow like tomorrow, but our future is secure. Are you with me? Our future is secure. So before I read any Bible verse, I have a question for you. A very important question. Please look at the screen. This is a question I feel you should keep asking yourself forever. Yeah? Because you have to know. Because you have to be well established in hope. So the question is simple. When will this world that we're living in, when will it end? Now, again, don't try to be correct. Just try to be sincere. What do you believe? When will this world end? I'm looking for like 3 answers. Okay, so who would like to go first? I'm not looking for a perfect answer, by the way, in this case. It's just that whatever answer you give, I will help you break it down. When do you think this world will end?
I think this world is going to end. I'm sorry, I'm not going to pick on any of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 answers which are there. But the world is going to end when all these things as prophesied in the Bible are all going to start happening at the same time. That is wars, diseases, and when the time when Jesus Christ will have to intervene and save Israel, that is the time the world is going to come to an end.
Amen. So let me just emphasize that. So what Benjamin said, which I agree with anyway, is that when Jesus comes back to the earth, yeah, then you know that the end of the world is here. I agree with that. That's perfect, actually. Amen. So let's, maybe we should now read and say, how close do you think that time is? Okay, you're a believer. You've been walking with God. In your own mindset, how close do you think? I'm not looking for it. There's no perfect answer there. To be very sincere. So it's a matter of testing your hope. You understand? Where your hope is. Where your heart is. What you see into the future. Amen. So when do you think this world will end?
Amen. I think there's an appointed time, and I think everything with God, we might not understand the fullness. There's always time with God. When he went to deliver the children of Israel, he had set the time that it will happen, and it did happen. It didn't come earlier, it didn't come late. It came at the right time, and it came just about that 4,000 years. I believe I'll choose B. There are about 20 years. I'm not certain, but I just believe there are about 20 years.
Look at him very well. So Boshai believes that the world will end in about 20 years. Sister Tai, are you early? Boshai believes that the world will end in about 20 years. Okay? I don't know what your plans are, but it's good to hear that. Yes? Thank you, sir. That's a good answer. Again, I'm not looking for a perfect answer today. We're just testing how we see, how we are looking into the future. And again, just emphasize something else Boshai said, which is that there's an appointed time. When Jesus came in the first coming, the time was appointed. It was not just random. In fact, it was prophesied. In fact, actually, Bible scholars have worked out from the prophecy that there was an exact date in which Messiah will come first time. And now looking back, they worked it out and found that the prophecy actually pinpointed the day. To the day. Amazing. Yeah? The prophets of old, including Isaiah, Jeremiah, and co, they had prophesied before Jesus came, and from their prophecy, the day was pinpointed. Of course, the people of that day did not know, but now, looking back into the Bible, it was worked out, and you'll find that actually, the prophet has specified when. And Jesus appeared about 4,000 years after the first man, Adam. What's up?
I'll answer a slightly different question. Because for instance, it's the same question everyone has answered, which is not really when will the world end, but when will the Lord return? My thought about my expectation as a Christian of the Lord's return is that if he doesn't come tonight, I'll be watching for him anyway, to live as though his coming was imminent.
Amen. And that's it.
Thank you. Let me just expand that again. That's a very good answer. And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. That's why the Lord himself did not reveal the time he's coming back to his disciples, because they asked him, he said, when are you going to give this kingdom back? Yeah, they asked him. He said, I'm not going to tell you the time or the season for this, but what I want you to do is watch, be ready. Amen. And for all generation of believers, even up to the last generation, he wants us all to what? To be ready. And that's why nobody can be 100% certain. Amen. But we can know the times and the seasons. That's very clear in scripture. And just like Brother Benjamin has said, and we're ready today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 1. Please open there. And then we'll come back to the question. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 1. Please let's open and read that. I'd like someone else to read that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 1. Let's get it. Let's see what the Bible is saying there. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 1. Now, I want King James. So, sister, or New King James. So, King James or New King James first. See, okay.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you.
Are you listening to that? So he was writing to them and said, he was writing to this Christian and said, I don't need to remind you of the times and what? Let's continue.
For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
Amen. Please look at
But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief.
Amen.
So you know what the Bible is saying there? He's saying, you might have gone up and said, okay, the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Yeah? But for us believers, that word as a thief in the night is to unbelievers. Amen. Because they are not watching. But anybody that is watching, the day of the Lord will not come what? As a thief in the night. You'll be ready. Yeah? You'll be alert. You'll be conscious. And also, we also know the times and the seasons. Because Jesus expressly told us what the times and the seasons are. But he said, no one knows the day or what? The hour. But we know the times and what? And the seasons. Amen. Hallelujah. We are not what? In the dark. Are you listening to me? We're not in the dark. The person that is alert and watching has some inside information compared to the person who is not watching. Amen. We will look at that later. So let's finally answer this question. Again, there's no perfect answer I'm looking for there. Let's look at number C. When will this word end? I want to tell you something. If you're not sure of any answer, you should be sure at least of C. In about 100 years. And why do I say that? Because I'm certain that nobody here will be living in 100 years time. Are you with me? Hello? Are you with me? Look at yourself very well. I don't care how much faith you have. Eh? If Moses could not do it, huh? You can't beat it. Are you with me? Yeah, in 100 years' time, you'll be gone.
Are you with me? I don't care whatever technology comes out. Hello, are you with me? In 100 years' time, you will be what? You'll be gone. So your world will end before 100 years' time. Hallelujah. It's good to remember that. Amen. It's good to remember that you are not here forever. There's another answer I'd like to give to you. Also, look at answer E. Answer E is never true. The world will not exist forever. I know you may be planning for your great-great-great-grandchildren, but I tell you, the world might have much ended before they ever showed up. Because the world is not going to last. Bible is very clear. Yeah? That this world will be destroyed. Are you with me? So do not plan your life and do not live your life as though the world will not end. For it will. And that's why Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures on earth. Because the thief can come, the robber can come, and finally the world itself will end. But lay your treasure, that means invest, in the kingdom. Because that one will not end. Are you with me? He said invest where? In the kingdom. Because that one, it will never end. Hallelujah. I'm just working hard so that my great grandchildren will not suffer. The world might have ended long. You can even end before you die. And in fact, I believe that it will end before you die. Yeah, I need to tell you my own belief. Hallelujah. I believe that the world will end in my lifetime. I believe so. Hello? And what that hope, what does it do to you? That hope says I should run my race. Hallelujah. Because what does it profit a man if he what? Gains the whole world but loses his own soul. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? Are you with me? Are you with me? Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. Amen. Now let me explain something about the Christian hope. The Christian hope is not a hope that makes you to be afraid. Hallelujah. The only time you are afraid when you hear about the Christian hope is if you are living in the dark. The Christian hope is a hope that makes you to be energized. Every time I stay in hope, I'm energized to serve God diligently. Every time I stay in hope, I'm energized that whatever I'm going through is nothing. Hallelujah. There's a new day coming. There's a new world coming. Hallelujah. People may disappoint you. Friends may disappoint you. Family may disappoint you. But there's a new day coming. There's a new world coming. And those who have invested into that new day, they will not be put to shame. They will never be ashamed. They will never be ashamed. The Bible says, those who put their trust in Him will never be ashamed. Because when it's all been said and done, and when the world has faded away, as it surely must, you'll still be standing strong in Christ, the rock of ages. Hallelujah! Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. So let me break down those two scriptures and we round up. So we're talking about the last generation, which I strongly believe we are. And just like Bro Benjamin said, I would like to prove that to you from two scriptures. Okay? And I'm not going to use the traditional scriptures. I will just follow what we have said. Look at 2 Timothy 3. So again, this will emphasize what Bro Benjamin said, which I agree with perfectly. Oh no, actually, was it Bro Benjamin that said it, or who said it? I'm talking about the things we see right now. Yeah. 2 Timothy 3. Are you with me? Someone like to read for me? Someone, a lady, one of our sisters. 2 Timothy 3. Yes, Sister Chipo. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5.
But be certain of this, that in the last days times of trouble will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, uplifted in pride, given to bitter words, going against the authority of their fathers, never giving praise, having no religion, without natural love, bitter haters, saying evil of others, violent and uncontrolled, hating all good. Verse 4. False to their friends, acting without thought, lifted up in mind, loving pleasure more than God, having a form of religion, but turning their backs on the power of it. Go not with this.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Does anybody have New Living Translation? Let's just look at another shade of meaning. Thank you, sister.
You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Very difficult times.
What about the world we are living in right now? Do you look at the news? Yeah? What do you see? We are living in what? Very difficult times. Sister Frida, do you agree with me? We're living in very difficult times. This is not just about in Africa or in Asia or in Europe. It's all over the world. Yeah? These are difficult times. Amen. And you know what? It's not getting better. If I continue and say, oh, the times will get better, I will be a liar based on the word of God. Yeah? It's not getting better. Because it's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the season. Are you with me? Please continue.
For people will love only themselves and their money.
For people will what? Look at the world today. You know? People feel that once they have money, they are okay. Do you understand? One of the biggest problems you have in trying to evangelize today is that people feel they are okay. If you want to evangelize in the UK, yeah? The average man on the street says, I'm okay, I don't need God. Are you with me? I don't need God, I'm okay. If I fall sick, I'll go to the hospital. If I'm broke, I will get food, at least get food from the government. Yeah? I'm okay. I don't need God. They will be lovers of what? Themselves. And what? Their money. Are you with me? That's the time we live in. And some people believe that once they have money, you know, they can manipulate the word of God. You know, they can call the shots, even in the house of God. Do you understand? Those are the days we live in. Hallelujah. Please move on.
They will be boastful and proud.
They will boast. They will be proud. They will tell you. I mean, once in the days we live in, people will sin and still boast about it and say, I'm okay. If you talk about it, they say you are an hater. Shame on you for hating my sin. Are you with me? These are the days we live in, where the people committing sin, we tell you shame on you for talking about my sin. You are intolerant. You are an hater. Continue.
Scoffing at God.
They will scoff at God. Don't need God. He's God. Continue.
Disobedient to their parents and ungrateful.
I'm sure you agree with me now this situation. And so you know, sometimes you may say, oh, maybe this is just prevailing in the Western world, but everything happening in the Western world is happening all over the world because Western values are being watched on TV everywhere. So wherever you came from, those values are taking root already in the children of today. Are you with me? Please continue.
They will consider nothing sacred.
They will consider nothing sacred. Continue.
They will be unloving and unforgiving.
They will what? Please, let's pause there. Let's get that one right. In these days, people will be what?
Unloving and unforgiving.
Let me express it in the time you understand. They will be cold. Have you ever felt that people are cold? You know, like they don't care. They will be cold, completely closed in. Yeah? They don't. You understand? Stay in your own domain. I stay in my own domain. They'll be unloving and what? Unforgiving. Please continue.
They will slander others and have no self-control.
They will talk anyhow. and they are not afraid to say anything to anybody. You know, you can be talking to them and say, "Get lost." You understand? They will pull people down. They will pull people. They don't want to pull anybody. They will pull people down. Continue.
They will be cruel and hate what is good.
They will hate what is good. They will celebrate what is shady. They will celebrate it. And they tell you, "You don't know what you're doing." "Ah, we know what we're doing." Continue.
They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God.
See that? That's a good way to summarize that. They will love pleasure more than they love God. Finally, give me the last one. That's the last bit. Verse 5. Let's look at verse 5 together again. What will happen to people in the last days? Verse 5.
They will act religious.
They will act religious. Means that they can go to church. They can even have a church card. Are you listening? The fact that you come to church does not mean you belong to Christ. Belonging to Christ is a thing of the heart. You understand? The way to test whether you belong to Christ is what? In your heart. You will know. If you really belong to Christ, you will know in your heart. Do you understand? When you have given it to Him, you know He is yours and you are His in your heart. Amen? But not everybody you see sitting in church that belongs. Are you understanding me? Some people, they will just satisfy their guilt by acting religious. But every time that God wants to step in and do a real job in their life, they will run. That's what it means. He said they will deny the power that can make them godly. What it means is that they are happy to stay on the boundary of religion, the one that does not offend them. But anytime that God wants to get in and do that quick operation, yeah, to fix them, to move to the next level, they will what? They will run away. Please finish it.
But they will reject the power that could make them godly. Can't stay away from people like that.
Amen. So if you look at that, what does it show us? It shows us exactly. In fact, I found nothing on that list that does not apply to the day we're living in. Amen. Now, I could have completed this message now, but it's a bad point to finish a message. Yeah? How does it apply to you? What are you to do? How do you live? We are talking about a message, the last generation. If you find yourself in the last generation, how do you live in the last generation? Let me finish on that and we close. So open to 1 Thessalonians 5 and let's look at verse 5. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and let's look at verse 5. It's important to get that right and then we will close. 1 Thessalonians 5. And how are you to live in the last day? How should you conduct your life in these days, these last days? If you find yourself in the last generation, how do you live your life? Please, Brother, we continue reading from verse 4 to verse 8. And that's exactly my message to you. How to live your life in the last days.
But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard.
Be on what? Your guard. King James says, watch. Can we say to yourselves, repeat after me, watch.
Watch.
Okay, let us watch. Please continue.
Not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed.
Stay alert and be what? Clear-headed. King James says, watch and be sober. Can you turn to your neighbor, please? Turn to your neighbor. Say, in the last days.
In the last days.
In which we live.
In which we live.
You need to watch.
You need to watch.
And be sober.
And be sober.
And let's do it one more time. Did you get a neighbor? Because I saw you smiling. You must have spoken to her very kindly. She's smiling. Let's do it one more time. Say, please, you'll be my neighbors. Say to your neighbor, say, in the last days,
In the last days
in which you live,
which we live,
you need to watch.
You need to watch
and be sober.
And be sober.
Amen. Amen. Please, let's please read it again in New Living and let's give ourselves that one. Stay alert. Just read that again.
So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Next. Stay alert.
Stay alert.
And be clear-headed.
Please, let's turn to our neighbor again. We're just saying the same thing, but in a simpler English. Say, turn to your neighbor. You're going to have two neighbors now, Bro Benjamin. Oh, no. You're going to have, you can have Roshayo now. Yeah. Say to your neighbor, say, in the last days.
In the last days.
In which we now live.
In which we now live.
You need to stay alert.
You need to stay alert.
And be clear-headed.
And be clear-headed.
Please look at them, say, be clear-headed.
Be clear-headed.
Hallelujah. You know why? Because Satan will stir up many storms to cause confusion in your life and in the body of Christ. If you don't fight to be clear-headed, you will be carried away by what Satan is doing and miss out of what God is doing. Are you understanding me? You can be carried away. Satan can cause trouble in your life or in your family or in the church. But what Satan is doing is not what matters, because Satan is forever a troublemaker. Are you listening? So, Satan is not your problem, although he's your adversary. Are you listening? I said, Satan is your enemy, but he's not your problem, because there's already a medicine that you can use to defeat Satan all the time. So, Satan is not your problem, although he's your enemy. Are you understanding me? Your problem is to give more attention to what the devil is doing rather than what God is saying and doing. The key to overcoming Satan is submitting to God. Focus on God. Just face God. You know, face God. Face fellowship. Contribute. Function. Flow. Just do what God is doing. As you continue on that, the grace that comes from that activity will destroy every action and activity of Satan in and around your life. Amen. That's what it means to be clear-headed. The clear-headed means that you refuse to be carried away by what has happened. Some people say, oh, because this happened, I can't serve God anymore. You understand? God did not change. You understand? And God is not the author of evil. The devil is the author of evil. And sometimes also human error. Are you listening to me? So don't fight God because some things are not going right. Are you listening to me? Don't fight God. In fact, actually, when you see things are not going right in your life, that's a good excuse to move even closer to God. Hallelujah. You don't ever run away from God, because God is the good thing in your life. Yeah? Anytime you move away from God, you give Satan more room to do more havoc. And that's all he does. He's a troublemaker. Are you understanding? So the best thing you can do to a troublemaker is not to give them attention. If you give a troublemaker attention, say, I will deal with you, they will give you what? More trouble. Are you listening? But stay with God. Focus with God, fellowship, function, be, connect. Satan will not have a hold over you. Amen. Please continue. That's how to live in the last days. You stay alert and be clear-headed. Let's continue. Let's finish on that. Please read it and let's finish on that.
Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation.
Amen. Thank you for that. Please, now, give me verse 8 in King James, or New King James. Let's round up with that. I want to talk about faith, hope, and love again.
But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation.
The hope of salvation. Hallelujah. You know, when you talk about the armor of God, and they say the helmet of salvation, this verse fully breaks it down. The hope. Now that hope, I told you, is not the wishy-washy hope. It is that fervent expectation of the fullness of your salvation. The complete deal. Where your body will be transformed. Where you will, be with Jesus forever. Where you are being rewarded for your good works done, as a product of your righteousness in Christ. Hallelujah. That hope keeps you going. Hallelujah. That hope keeps you what? Going. That hope what? Keeps you going. If your vision is fading, it's because your hope has problem. When that hope is firm, Your vision will continue to move forward. Now, what the Bible is saying is that we are not of the night. Please turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not of the night. I'm of the day. You know the difference between being of the day and day of the night is that actually, because we are living in the last days, we are living in the night time now. It's not in the, of all creation, we are now in the night time. The night time is where we are living. But Bible says, don't sleep. Don't be drunk. What it means is that don't be careless. Don't be carried away. But there's a key there which I saw. He said, how do you live in the day when you are in the night? He said it. He said what? Let us live in the light. Amen. Although there may be night all around us, we have the light of God shining on us. And our job in the last days is to walk in that light. Although there may be darkness all around you, if you walk in the night, in the light, yeah, the darkness cannot prevail over you. Amen. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. You know, I believe that what God is saying to us this morning is very simple. And that is, we should stay alert. We should stay alert and we should be clear-headed. We should run our race. We should keep, you know, before us that fervent hope of salvation. The hope that one day you will enter into the fullness of your salvation. The hope that one day Jesus will reward you for your faithfulness to Him. The hope that you know that this world you live in it is not going to exist forever. So you can never hold on to it too tightly. You do your best, but don't hold on to it too tightly. What you are supposed to hold on to is the kingdom. What you are supposed to invest in with your time, your money, your resources, your ability, your connection, your skill, is what? The kingdom. Because that will never end. So pray and say, Father, grant me grace to stay alert and to be clear-headed. Not to give attention to Satan and the trouble he's making, but to learn to ignore and to learn to resist the devil and to submit to God. Father, grant me grace to invest more in the kingdom, in the things of God, because that investment can never be lost. But you see, your investment on earth can be lost, because if the world passes away tomorrow, all those investment is gone. But the one you invest in the kingdom, you can never lose it. Amen. So just dedicate and say, Father, I receive grace to invest more into that which lasts forever. Thank you, Father. I will stay alert and I will be clear-headed. I will walk in the light and the darkness will not dominate me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can we just say together, 2016 is the year of light that shines. In this year, my light will shine. In Jesus' name, amen.